Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
We return again to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the chapter that we started in our study yesterday, having completed our study of chapter 15, and we have come immediately into a new subject, chapter 15, the doctrine of the resurrection. Chapter 16 covers a number of things, but the first item on the docket is the doctrine of giving. And here it is a specific project offering. It's not so much a general teaching about the subject of giving in a, what should I say, in a systematic way to cover all of the aspects of giving, but rather it is Paul answering their questions about a project offering that he has introduced to them previously and is also introducing among all the Gentile churches, namely to take up a generous collection for the persecuted saints in Jerusalem who are under duress because of persecution, and they need some help. And this collection is designed to help them. And we are going to examine what Paul says about it, just for four verses before he moves on to another subject. But these four verses are very instructive, and I'll tell you the six things that we're going to examine about this collection. Number one, the purpose. Number two, the partnership. Third, the participants. Fourth, the procedure. Fifth, the protection. And sixth, the prodding. That'll get us through these four verses, I think, in a pretty thorough fashion. And so thank you for joining me on the Beacon Broadcast this Thursday, July 7. And thanks for those of you who respond to the financial need for finances in order to continue teaching God's Word on this station by means of the Beacon Broadcast. 1 Corinthians 16:1, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. Four verses. We already discussed the purpose on the broadcast yesterday pretty thoroughly, and we saw that the purpose of this collection was to relieve poverty of the persecuted saints in Jerusalem. So we move on to the second item, which is the partnership. And that is involved in this reference to other churches that are joining the Corinthian church in this project. As I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. The Corinthian church was going to be in partnership with other churches, namely the churches of Galatia, four that we know of, Lystra, Derbe, Antioch, Iconium, and other references in the New Testament make it clear that before Paul was done, he'd included other churches as well. So there are, we don't know exactly how many, but could easily be 10 or 12 churches or more that are involved in this special project offering. And so all of these churches are going to join together. It's going to be a cooperative effort. There's going to be a partnership. And Paul said, the instructions that I've already given to the churches of Galatia, I will now give to you. Same instructions. As I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. So, it is a matter of partnership, and this tells us the value of cooperation between, or maybe I should say among, local churches. We share, if we are biblical churches, a common faith with common concerns and common endeavors. And though there is diversity, no two churches are exactly alike. Nevertheless, there ought to be unity in the gospel of Christ, unity of faith, and unity of interests in the work of the Lord. Churches cooperating together in the work of evangelism and missions, churches cooperating together in the work of benevolence, churches cooperating together in the advance of the gospel. This does not require a centralized organization, or a central organization, as some people think. What Paul is describing here is nothing like what we normally call today a denomination, but it does involve partnership among churches. And this, I think, shows us how New Testament cooperation among churches was carried out. How was it carried out? Well, he tells us here. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. And he tells them how to take up the collection, and he's already given those instructions to other churches. And then other places, as this project unfolds over the course of several months and comes to completion, we learn that Paul takes the collection. Messengers come to him from churches all over Macedonia and Achaia, that's the Greek peninsula, and Asia. And these funds come together. Messengers from each church bring the money that was collected in that church, and all of them go together to Jerusalem to deliver the money that has been collected. That doesn't require denominational headquarters. It doesn't require a central clearinghouse. The money doesn't have to be sent to an umbrella organization before it can be delivered to Jerusalem. Just the opposite. We really see a beautiful picture here of, can I say it this way, independent local churches cooperating together in partnership. That's what you have. All of the churches are going to work together in this. As I've given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. And when everybody's done their part, then we'll get a team together, we'll get a group together, we'll carry these funds to Jerusalem, and we will deliver them to the saints there. We'll deliver them to the church at Jerusalem. And so it is churches cooperating in partnership to help a particular church that is in need of help. That's the kind of partnership that is described in the New Testament. It's not a denominational structure at all, but it is a cooperative partnership. It is a cooperative effort. It is churches working together. Independence of churches does not mean that we go it alone and we don't partner with anybody else. We don't cooperate with anybody else. We don't do anything with anybody else. We are independent. We do everything by ourselves. We don't need anybody else. That's the wrong attitude. But we don't see a denominational type structure in the New Testament to carry out the partnership. That is not required in order to have biblical cooperation, biblical partnership, churches working together for a common cause. But we move from number one, purpose, and number two, partnership, to number three, participants. Who is to participate in this? And you say, well, you've already covered that. It is the churches of Galatia, which you've already mentioned. You've already named the one in Lystra and Derbe and Antioch and Iconium. It is the church at Corinth, and you've already told us that there are other churches that are going to get involved before this is all over. Yeah, but that's not the participants that I have in mind, because that's not the ones that Paul mentions here. Who are they? They are the members of the church in Corinth. Each one of you. Verse 2. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside. Let each one of you lay something aside. Every member of the church at Corinth was expected to participate in this project offering in some way. It is not the sole responsibility of the wealthy members of the church. Paul says, each one of you. He doesn't say, now, those of you who are well off, those of you who are landowners and have big houses, those of you who have businesses, those of you who have farming operations, those of you who are the wealthier members of the church, you're the ones who have a responsibility to do this, and the others are excused because, of course, they don't have as much as you do, and therefore they aren't necessarily expected to participate in this. They may be just as poor as the saints in Jerusalem that we're trying to help. Well, maybe, maybe not, but be that as it may, everybody can have a part. Everybody should have a part. It may not be a big part, maybe a small part, but everybody should have a part. Each one of you. No exceptions, no excuses. It's a shared responsibility. Everyone shares in this offering. That's true equality. It's not that everybody shares the same amount. That's impossible. But everybody shares. That's possible. That's expected. Some people seem to take the idea when it comes to the collections of the church, give me the privileges that the church offers, but you pay the expenses. You're the ones who have the money. You're the wealthy ones. God's blessed you. You pay the expenses, and I'll enjoy the benefits of what your giving provides. What an abominable attitude. The Bible is clear. Everybody participates. Everybody gives. Everybody shares in giving, not equal amounts, but equal effort, equal sacrifice. It is true that the poorer you are, the more sacrificial your gift may be. It's impossible for that not to be the case. But everybody can give something. Remember our Lord commending the widow who gave her, was it 2 mites? Less than a penny. And yet Jesus said she gave more than the rest. Well, how could she give more than the rest? Rich people had thrown big bucks, gold coins, into the treasury at the temple. And she comes along and gives these 2 little thin copper coins that don't even amount to anything. They're not enough to buy anything. They really don't make any difference hardly in the total. But oh, what a difference they make in her life. What a difference they make in her heart. What a difference they make in the Lord's estimation of her. She gave more than they all. And she gave what she could. And that's the point. Let each one of you, that's the participants of the offering. We'll take it up again tomorrow. Join me then. Until then, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.